Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
It has been way too bloody long, guys.
It has. It really has.
I agree.
I blame the plague that I acquired from somewhere. Out of commission for 2.5 weeks.
Should have taken some constitution potion with you.
I really should have. My voice still sounds bad, even.
No, can't really hear.
It's a wee bit off, but not bad.
It feels bad to me, compared to what I'm used to hearing from me, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And the first 2 days that I was actually sick, I slept 20 hours one day and 19 hours the second day.
Dude.
Yeah.
I would kill to be able to do that undrugged.
Hell,
I'd be able to do that drugged.
I don't sleep normally.
Neither do I.
Well, for me, as a normal, not taking anything, my normal is like 6.5 hours on a good night. Okay. I naturally am one of those people that doesn't need tons and tons of sleep.
I flip-flop.
Yeah, and if you're under the covers and you're in like the bed all day, you kind of feel all icky and almost stagnant, I guess.
Yeah, I can't do it. I may lay down like from time to time during the day. I'll just go and like just lay on the bed. If I'm like home for the day, I'll just go in the bed, lay there, look at stuff on my phone. After about 15, 20 minutes, I get up and I move. I never like take a nap or anything, like ever. And yeah, the first 2 days I did that. This third day, that's when I actually started tracking my fever that hit 102.6.
Man, wow. You should have told the rest of us. We would have started a betting pool. How high and what day?
So the fourth day.
Have a baby pool, a fever pool.
Dude, have you ever seen Guys and Dolls?
I ended up going to the doctor. And he put me on an antibiotic. He gave me a asthma medication.
Which one?
Singulair. No, it is an asthma medicine. My wife has it.
Yeah, like, I'm on it. It's an anti-allergy medication. It's a leukotriene one specifically.
Maybe that's not the one then. Maybe it's something else. But the one he gave me is an actual asthma medication.
Xapanex, ProAir.
I can't remember right now, but yeah,
you're talking about, it's like, I've pretty much taken almost everything.
It is an allergy medication because my wife was on it as
I'm on it.
And I don't remember what, I thought it was Singulair, but it may not be. And then he put me on like anti-nausea medication and an antibiotic because I thought I had the flu. And they did a flu test because, you know, they can actually do that. And it has like a 94. He said it's a 94% like margin. I mean, this thing is like really accurate. And it came back that there was no influenza in me.
Walking pneumonia. I'll get a bet. walking pneumonia.
No, it was an upper respiratory infection that was bordering on bronchitis. It was early. It was early for all of that. So I had just gotten like the most god-awful upper respiratory infection ever. What's really funny is that he said if you were down for that long and nothing has been helping, he said, he's young. I mean, he's been practicing for like 8 or 9 years now. And he said, if we're right, he said, this has got to be the worst upper respiratory infection I have ever seen. Jeez. And I'm just like, holy shit, this is ridiculous. So yeah, that's one of the reasons why we have not been recording in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'll take the blame for part of it, but not all of it, dude.
No, this is on me.
You're better. That's the important bit.
Yeah, I got better. So what have you guys been up to since then?
I restarted one of my podcasts.
Awesome. Which one?
The Transdimensional Cafe is making its triumphant return.
Ah. Is it rising from the transdimensional space? And I don't know. I got nothing.
We'll say it's unfolding from the past.
Dude. It's unfolding from the past. Yes. That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. So, it's going to be fun to get one of the original people back with me, get a new person who's completely new to podcasting, and he's already addicted to it after a couple of pre-episodes we tried out. So, yeah. Gonna have a grand old time.
So Jules, what do you feel like this might have any kind of, relation to you?
No.
No. I hate podcasting.
No, it I'm lucky right now. I am retaining the ability to speak properly without stuttering or having my face lock up.
Oh.
So, yay, you get to hear my voice until, all of a sudden, oh, she's stuttering again. Somebody smack her, dude. She's skipping.
Well, at least you're taking it in stride, dear.
I can't take it with liquor, you know.
I know. Have they come up with anything?
I'm getting worse. That's all.
That's all that they know?
Well, the thing is that symptoms are getting worse. I'm getting worse. And they're kind of, everyone in their world is scratching their head. So,
yeah.
If I die, I die. If I live, I get to annoy the rest of you guys for, longer.
Well, you better, because I'm not ready to let go of my jewels yet. So
darn right.
Oh, look on the bright side, dude. You'd be haunted, but you'd be even more awesome. It's like that would lend you some major cred and just like add a little bit of that like metal kind of like headbang. It's like, oh yeah, well, man.
Before we have to set up boundaries. These are no haunting times. All right. You're not allowed to haunt during these hours. Fear in otherwise.
During peak, none.
Dude, you know the transmission and data rates? You know, it's like, I know if I come back as a ghost, I'm not going to be some kind of spiritual thing. I'm going to be digital, for God's sakes. You know that.
Well, you will haunt my phone just because.
All right, but again, if you haunt my computer, if you see incognito mode open, go away.
Oh, no. It's going to be even worse. It's just like all of a sudden your music things come out and like whatever the heck you're looking at, you're here in the background. Go, go, Power Rangers, and I'll kill the mood.
I mean,
think about that.
They say you find a new fetish every day.
Planet, he's our hero. I can, whatever the mood is, if you're trying to be spooky, I will absolutely destroy that, you know.
Oh, that's fun.
Think about it. You know, it's, when I was up in Baltimore before I went into Hopkins, there was because I can't sleep. Steve's not there. I can't sleep. And I'm trying to, get myself comfortable. I'm like, All right, they have cable. I'll watch cable. Can't sleep. Turn off the cable. Can't sleep. This is uncomfortable. Maybe if I put on the air and it sounds like, I'm like, it's going to suck. Yeah. So you get really sleep deprived, but you can't kick your brain into sleep no matter what drugs you take.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the kind of weird shit that goes through my mind at, you know, 3, 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I'll be, it got kind of silly. It's just like, all right, well, why not?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's been eh. And that's probably the highlight of anything out there.
Yeah, well, like I said.
On the positive side, though, I've found the funniest thing in the world. My husband picks up accents. I knew this. I didn't realize how easily it happens and how ingrained it becomes and how fast that happens. So I got him with an Irish accent because we are watching Jacksepticeye doing Papers, Please, and Jacksepticeye, very Irish accent, playing Papers, Please, where he's doing a Russian accent on top of his Irish accent. And then Steve picks up the Irish accent and the Russian accent, and he can't drop it.
So, that is hilarious.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm half tempted one day to put him on and just have you guys start playing, like, audio clips and see what he starts doing. You know, just, you know, give it a little time and then, all right, and then just record him. And listen to his frustration because he can't drop it. And I was just playing right before the D&D game, so go me. You know, he's playing a drunk elf wizard thing, and he's now doing it with a very thick Irish accent.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm terrible.
Or amazing.
Yep,
that is awesome.
And right now he is downstairs working on Milkman Dan.
Oh, yes, awesome. He needs to.
Oh, yes, he is working on it. He is listening to the old podcasts, and his reaction to it is like, is that my voice? Is that that's what I sound like? Oh, my God. And he looks at me and he's like, you're a liar. You're a liar. I'm like, I'm not a liar. He's like, you said I sound sexy and smooth. I'm like, to me, you do. He's like, I'm all like my voice ranges and I go squeaky and then I go, it's the first time he's hurt himself.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a bit of getting used to.
Yeah, so, that's why when I record my podcast, and yeah, I actually put a new one up, I think about two and a half weeks ago. I don't listen to it. I actually will speed it up.
Yeah, so you don't hear what you sound like?
I can't. It's I already live in the uncanny valley. I don't need to get that much more jerk was like into my brain. I don't need to be that more unsettled.
The uncanny valley is so nice and warm.
It is. It is a wonderful place to live sometimes.
It's a nice place to vacation.
I mean, especially in the winter, you know, everything else is cold.
Well, yeah, duh. Well,
so is my heart, you know.
Fair enough.
Wow. That got dark quick.
Hey.
Well.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Hey, look on the bright side. At least I can actually make conversation. I'll be happy about that one.
Yeah. As well you should be.
Mm-hmm.
As well you should be. So, we are actually going to be talking about today not just the random things that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks while we've been out. We are actually here to finish part two in a very small series. And this one is going to be on locations. Also, as I like to refer to them, the window dressing of the setting.
Mm-hmm. Places and points of interest that...
I'm sorry, Zendad, I just... Oh, God. Zendad, I just had a mental image because of how you described this and how you were talking about this prior. I had an image of you as Tim Gunn sitting behind a DM screen.
Interesting.
Everybody, think on that. think on that now. That image is in your heads. You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. So, locations as the window dressing. So, NPCs kind of fill the social interaction between your players and the world that they're in. And locations, I've always viewed locations as more than just the backdrop, because the backdrop is just basically what, as a game master, that's, you need to just be describing these things, because the general feel, those are all parts of just the basic things you all need to know. And key locations should always be those really, like, the Macy's window at Christmas. Like, they should draw you in and just make you want to interact with a location. Because, like, I mean, do you really want to mess around with, you know, Joe the Peasant's, you know, hovel shack? Or do you want to, like, you know, explore the Thieves Guild?
Actually, a good way to put is, if anyone out there is familiar with Discworld, and by God, I hope most of you are. If not, you know, go check it out. Pratchett is awesome. The way that all the other towns like Quirm and Flamedos, and the way they're described, they're kind of boring. But when they talk about the main city of Ankh-Morpork, holy moly, it's like the sparkliest sparklies and the creepiest, spookiest back alleys with assassins and thieves. And the way it's described, I mean, we're not looking at a picture. It's through words, and you're imagining it. And the sights, the smells, the sounds. Oh, and it's unbelievably interesting. You just almost would love to hear what would happen if someone narrated it as you, you know, strolled around the town.
Exactly. And while that's one of the benefits of written, in a game you don't have as much time to convey things. That's why, as a general rule, most people just gloss over the city and they focus on the few key locations that are important.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are, well, the way I always look at it, I always look at locations the same way I look at NPCs. I throw a bunch of stuff out there, and I see what my players want to interact with.
What do they kind of latch on to, basically, the places that continually draw them in again and again and again.
Or, hell, the first place that draws them in. Because with my group, I'm lucky if I can get them, you know, to do one thing that's not part of the main adventure that they're doing. You know, they get pretty focused, and they, like, just recently, like, they did, I think it was almost a third of an adventure in one night.
Well done.
I mean, they just chewed it up. And I'm like, holy cow, guys. Okay.
The one thing also that the environment and the world, you know, allows you to do is, if, you know, you have an adventure set up, it's one, if you can give them enough of it and they think about, oh, trying to solve your adventure, best way to describe it, going a different way. If you've given them a good, you know, a decent enough feel of the area where it's not like something out of a Final Fantasy, like the first one, the very first one where, you know, it was press B to jump and that's all you got. You know, when you would talk to, and you, all the buildings look the same. You know, they might decide, hey, you know, instead of, you know, kind of being all detective-y, let's talk to the priest. He might know something, because the way that the town is described, you know, the church is a focal point
Yeah.
You know? And also, it's kind of cool because you could also drop in hooks for other stories that you might want to tell. Just little bits, you know, and what the city is doing while they're in it. So while they're in it, and say they take extra time and they spend there another week. Oh, shoot, they're stuck right in the middle of a huge, like, fertility festival. And, you know, now there's way too many people and they can't be, you know, the big kind of enforcer paladin-y types. Or,
yeah,
you know, a festival ends. There's nobody to interrogate. And they stick out like sore thumbs.
Yeah. And that is one of the things. And that's part of the setting are things like, you know, the festivals and things like that, because those, while they're not technically locations, they can be things that are happening in very key points in a city.
Well, you could think of them as tied
to the town itself.
Yeah.
You could think of them as like almost like the equipment of the character that is the city.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the beauties of locations is that you can really like dive into, you know, like if you have like a natural passion for describing architecture and things like that, I mean, it's a way for you as a GM to really shine. Or if there's certain things that you want in locations, like every location has, you know, this element that I always describe, whatever it is, whether it's architecture, the smells of the location, you know, the just general feel of it.
Yeah. Even the weather.
Yeah.
The weather, how foggy it is, you know, a port city is going to be very, very different from, you know, mountain city. And it's kind of neat because different PCs, you know, you might have a big burly barbarian who's really, you know, he's fine when he's on the plains in small trading towns or, you know, like nomadic bazaars and stuff like that. They'd be fine. But you put him into some kind of almost kind of stuffy nobility town and you make it, you know, for certain PCs, they'd be fine in there. Your paladin might love it, but your barbarian's going to start feeling a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And it's great because it adds spice to your players. They actually can dive deeper inside their characters. So while your clerics and your paladins might be completely and totally at home in a, you know, a thriving city with church and, you know, and the guards and what have you, but your ranger and, you know, your barbarian would probably feel out of place.
You know what is a great example of that from cinema?
Explain.
Conan the Barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
When they're running into the city, when they're running to the very first city, and he's like, it stinks in here. How does the wind ever get in here? That's exactly it. Like, you're describing the barbarian coming to a real city for the first time. Like, my God, this place is horrible. And then he gets really, really drunk and punches a camel. You know, because, you know, it's in the way. And he's laughing at a dude who's having sex with a llama or a camel. I don't remember which one. I mean, but those are all things that are happening in the background of this city.
And yeah.
It's those little elements that, yeah, as a barbarian, he in the beginning, he's very uncomfortable. But then he kind of comes to realize, hey, wait, I can steal stuff in here.
Yep.
And cities become a little more acceptable to him.
And here's the other thing is like you put a ranger character or you put, you know, a sniper type character, you know, and everyone's doing all these crazy martial art moves. They're going to pull the Indiana Jones, pull the gun and shoot them.
Yeah.
It's going to be because everyone expects, oh, there's going to be a huge fight. And nah, It's yeah. kind of neat. It's not, you know, punch face. Just, no, okay, boom, done. It's interesting because you're players, and if you do this right and you make the city kind of, you know, its own person, lack of a better term for it, they're going to react to it. They will react to the environment almost as if it was a living, breathing entity.
Yeah.
And
yeah. You know, and cities are great for that. But even inside cities, all of your key locations that are important need to be pretty well.
Like the Artificer's Hall. Like the Artificer's yeah, Hall or the Thieves Guild.
They need to be well defined enough that you can, without any real effort, be like, okay, you know, this is what it is like. And, you know, the building next to it, while it may be something similar, it has a different enough feel that if the players want to go in there and look at something, they can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is, you don't have to sketch out your entire city block by block. You can just have, all right, it's approximately this big, and, you know, draw a circle. And it's like, okay, here's the nobles' quarters. Here's the dark spire. There's the Enchanters yeah. Guild. You know, there's the necropolis.
Yeah. And which is never within the city proper.
That depends.
Depends.
No.
It depends on the culture.
That okay. Mm-hmm. In traditional cities, early cities.
True.
They were not kept inside of the city because they understood that the dead
except diseases.
But here's the thing. You're talking about realistic worlds in that regard.
Sure.
In a setting where like magic Tallis. Is possible, where...
Like the city of Tallis. It was... Cook. Monty Cook. Thank you, Brain. Like, that's part of the darn city. Tallis oh, yeah. itself is... By the way, if you can get your hands on it, it's really awesome. But
it's the world's biggest city. You know what's funny?
I loved it.
My game store in town has 3 copies of the book.
Yeah, we've been playing in a Tallis campaign since level 1. I am now level 18.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. There's a fair number of awesome things like that. Oh, if you can ever get your hand on it, there was a book for 3.5 D&D, which was it's the DMG 2. Okay, mm-hmm. In that book, they did a ultra detailed city, and it's I want to say it's Saltmarsh, and it's from Greyhawk. But they did such an amazing job describing major locations within this pretty big city. And it is just inside the DMG. Like, it's an entire chapter of the book. But it's to show you this is how intricate you can get. And it is one of the most amazing books that doesn't go like, you know, and in the Thieves Guild there are this many thieves and they do this and they do this. You know, there's a lot of seeded things that can all be pulled out and used wherever. So if you're looking for locations, find everything that has locations in it and steal from it, especially if it's for your home game.
Mm-hmm.
Steal bits from everywhere. And draw inspiration for those locations from everything. I will give you guys a little sneak peek, but my stat block is totally stolen from a music video.
Neat.
Yeah. Well, the idea of it is.
Awesome.
I went from there, but... And if anybody can figure it out, I will, I don't know what I'll do. I will do something, though, for somebody that is not one of the co-hosts, if they can figure it out.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'll do yet, but I will do something for that person. So. Because yeah. I can do that. Maybe give them access to, like, the patron stuff for, like, a month or something. Of which, oh, God, we're so bad about getting any of that stuff done yet. But I do have... I found my copy of Starship Troopers. And if I had not been sick, I would have been reading it. So that's the problem why I have not. I've made it through the second chapter. And... And then I even went out, because I did not have a copy of it anymore, I went out and bought the movie.
I still need to pick it up.
So.
The RPG, it's kind of fun. I am not, never have been a Heinlein fan.
Yeah.
I respect what he gave to the world of sci-fi. Not my...
I lose
almost all my sci-fi cred for this, but not my thing, man. Not my jam.
It's military sci-fi, which is weird. So I know a lot of people that don't get it, and they don't like it for that reason. I will never, you know. There are other, like, there's other books of his that I just don't like. This one in particular is one that I do like the book of, and Justin has a far different version of what he...
The movie is better than the book, and that is hard for me to say.
And this right here, this fundamental paradigm shift between Justin and I is what the patron episode about Starship Troopers will be. Me and him debating this for an hour. So,
for it's those who survive an hour,
yeah, we have a moderator already. Jules would moderate this for us so that we don't kill each other. Or
also being the fact that I don't like Heinlein, I can. It doesn't matter because whatever you say out of each of your mouths, you're wrong.
See,
kidding.
So we have ways around this. So we're going to do this, and I really want to. I'm hoping that this week I can chew through that book and then watch the movie like the following weekend or something.
Fair enough.
So
yeah.
So get to reading, Justin.
You guys are gonna have to get to reading, get into watching, .. You know.
And none of the other movies. This is only the first movie. That's all that we're gonna be discussing with
right,
it.
Of course.
Because
I forgot.
Yeah, they're Sci-Fi Channel specials.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think there's three of them.
I think,
and then there's like a CGI'd one, and then there's like
there's a CGI series.
Oh no, I knew there was a series, but there's also I think one of the last movies I thought was CGI'd. I could be wrong on that, but I thought that there was one of the movies that was CGI'd. So,
true.
But yeah, that will be in fact a patron
thing. Yeah, so pretty much if you want to see Null Operations and Zendead duke it out, I'm holding the tickets. You got to buy them.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. So. But yeah, I think we
veered off a little bit there, but we're plugging future entertainment.
We are, and we're sadly plugging the Patreon because we still only have one patron.
But I love you, dude. You're awesome.
We do. We need to get him on the show too at some point here soon to talk about GMing and stuff in general. So that is one of the he's hit that perk with his donations. So
sounds good.
Yeah. So I think we're just going to go ahead and roll right into stat blocks, folks.
And now we enter stat blocks. This is a segment where you can use something that we've created in your game tonight.
Jules, go.
Mine is an evil laugh. Hey, why me first, dude?
You moved first after saying we give stat blocks.
All right. I came up with something called... it's called the Maimer. Now, everyone has their standard toolkit. It can be a reinforced carpet bag full of chemicals, or a pouch full of reagents, a utility belt, or even a walking piece of luggage. It's become such a part of their being that the individual feels off if they forget it. They've modded it and molded this piece of equipment to their exact specifications and requirements. It always has what they need, and has pulled them out of a few scrapes before. And when someone's enemy finds out about their toolkit, now they have a perfect attack vector. And this ne'er-do-well introduces the Maimer. How this item is made, no one knows. The creators of this item guard their secrets carefully. The Maimer is made to look like the target's toolkit. Size, weight, heft, smell, and even the small defects that develop over time are replicated in excruciating detail. Then, based on the buyer's request, the craftsman adds that special something. It could be anything from a snap trap that'll crush a hand, rendering the appendage useless, a psychoactive mushroom derivative that twists a person's mind, a localized nerve agent that removes the victim's fine motor control. Possibilities are endless, and there is a restriction. The Maimer's effects aren't fatal. They're designed to be permanently destructive, but not fatal. Removing a surgeon's fine motor control, handicapping a scientist's mind from thinking clearly, or destroying a chef's sense of smell. But if you're thinking this is due to some type of kindness or compassion, you're wrong. This is the sadist's weapon. Because you can kill somebody only once, but you can destroy them over and over again.
Nice.
Very nice.
Oh, that's good.
No, that's evil.
Yeah.
All right, how about that's well done?
That is well done, yes.
I don't know. I never come up with anything nice. I prefer it that way.
Yeah, well.
You guys come up with the nice stuff. I just let me wallow in the darkness. They know me here, and they're like, hey, have you heard about this thing? All right, Justin, you got to tell us next, man.
All righty.
I like your stuff. You make me laugh.
So, pulling out another set from the catalog.
Woohoo!
The Grand Champion Box Set. No one can back down from a true call of heroism, and the Grand Champion Box Set, figure sold separately, gives any would-be champion the chance to show their steel. With this game in hand, you'll be able to solve any riddle, puzzle, or physical challenge with ease thanks to tokens of magic, injections of serums, or other powerful enhancements users of the games are granted. The Grand Champion Box Set is fun for the entire adventuring party. Draw a loot card to see what lies and misdeeds your allies hide from you. Land on their homesteads and see the broken paths of destiny they have steered you away from. Roll the dice and learn when their sinister plots against you will take place. The Grand Champion Box Set is guaranteed to lead you down the path of great heroes and tyrants. You'll learn the necessary skills to survive what your once loyal best friend is going to do to you in your dreams. You won't have to put up with the romantic interest stringing you along when your desire for mortal comforts are robbed from you and only the quest remains. The box will see you through, no matter the cost. Warning, the Grand Champion Box Set can pre-equip guaranteed curse type applications and will magically adhere or medically inject its commands into the owner of the box. Breaking the curse is considered breach of TOS and thus nullifies any warranty or refund for this product. The Grand Champion Box Set. After all, you're a champion, aren't you? Order of caution. All purchases recorded and authorities will be notified.
Oh my god.
Great.
You sound like a pitchman for Froboz. It's brilliant.
That is great.
You genius, sir.
I love the catalog.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I don't know if you guys ever played Zort Grand Inquisitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Like it was the Froboss vacuum from Froboss Electric. We don't make things that suck. We make things that suck permanently.
Yeah.
I wish I could actually have that catalog because it's awesome.
Oh, that is fun. We may need to start doing some PDF pages for some of these things.
Could be. Need someone to do a quick sketches then for the products.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun. All right.
Oh my gosh.
We'll have to talk to some people. See what we can make happen.
I need to find someone who does architecture sketches. That'd be best.
Yeah. Right? All right, guys. Here we go. My stat block is Devin Brode. He is the headmaster and virtuoso of the College of the Black Star. Devin has spent many years working on building the college into what it is today. He is an amazing performer that has changed his style a number of times over his life. At present, he puts on the airs of a priest. His magical style is predominantly lute and song. He got his start in the rough part of town and worked for meals. Now he is sought by nobles and wealthy merchants to play for them. From time to time, he has been known to sneak into one of his old haunts and play shows just for free. Though he mostly spends his days teaching with the other bards, the newest and the most promising students only. Devin is a tall, willowy man. His bloodline holds a bit of the elven in it. For he is in his late 60s, but doesn't appear to be much over his 40s. He has blondish-colored hair at present that is long and kept in a ponytail mostly. He wears bits and pieces from many different clergy. He has also taken to wearing a blindfold of muslin with a single eye painted in the center of his forehead. Now his lute, that is something of a legend. It's been with him since he started working as a bard. It's never out of tune and has been hit by things that should have broken it. How he got this and what it actually is, no one's sure.
I dig.
Brilliant, sir. Brilliant.
Is this our first named NPC?
No, I think I've done a couple.
Yeah, I don't give them names.
I think, we've done NPCs, but I think this is the first one we've done that it's like a directly, this is this dude's name.
No, because the Broken Arrow, the archery place, I know the guy in there was named. And I think the next closest one other than that is Cerulean that I've done.
Very well.
But Cerulean is more of a tag that's been placed on him. Oh my god, yeah. So, we'll talk about something else later, but okay.
I love it.
Yeah, so there we go. Well,
good step off
time. That was our step blocks, folks. So we're gonna go ahead and roll right into our lexicon.
Lexicon, where we give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
Narcosis. It's a wonderful little noun. Does anyone happen to know what narcosis is?
Oh, yeah, I totally know what narcosis is. I spent a vacation there one time. It was a nice place. Not very sunny, though. Kind of dim. I felt like I was tired, almost in a stupor most of the time while I was there.
A.K.A. nitrogen narcosis, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. It is a state, though, of stupor and unconsciousness or arrested activity.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by the influence of narcotics or other chemical or physical agents, as said by nitrogen narcosis, which is what happens when you go too deep too fast when you're scuba diving.
Fun.
Yep. Yeah, they like to test you when you're qualifying for scuba diving, And in the first one, they like to push and see how far you can actually go down before you start to narc out, as they call it. So, and I know this because I've done it. When you can't answer 2 + 2, that's when you know you've got it.
Yeah. You answer 2 + 2 and you answer ice cream? Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's, yeah.
That's funny. I was going to say pie.
I don't remember exactly what I answered with, but they were like, back up. And you only have to go about 3 feet, and it changes almost instantly. Your head clears and everything. Huh. So, yeah, it's a very weird little thing that happens to your body when you scuba dive. Now, the origin and etymology of narcosis is New Latin from Greek, and the Greek is narcosis, which is the action of benumbing, which is from narcosis, which is from narcaia, narcan. I'm assuming that's the Latin or the Greek. Who knows? I don't speak either. But it's one of those. The way they wrote this one up was a little weird. Thank you, Merriam-Webster. But that is our lexicon. So we're going to jump right into closing remarks. Try to wrap this one up and maybe make it to a nice shorter episode this time, folks.
It's shorter, but hey, as long as you guys are entertained. Are you not entertained? Because I've been entertained this entire freaking cast. I don't know about you guys.
No, go ahead. You're not.
Justin? Talking.
Justin.
Not it.
I said you.
Nope.
I choose you.
Very well.
Yay!
I've been watching another fun show on Netflix. It is a series called Abstract: The Art of Design. It's basically kind of a mini documentary series. It's essentially kind of the concept of what is abstract art. And what does it mean to be a designer in different fields and different ways creatives can make stuff? And they handle the show, and each episode focuses on a different designer in a different field. People like Christopher Nyman, Nike shoe designer Tinker Hatfield, stage designer Ez Devlin, you know, these various people who... They're all artists, they're all designers in a different way, but they have similar things that kind of tie them together, but they're all unique fields. You know, Christoph is, you know, an illustrator who has done a lot of work for The New Yorker. A lot of his stuff is 2D art, and how does it kind of play with things? Hatfield's stuff in shoe design comes from a lot of time he spent studying architecture, which... also kind of influences as Devlin's design in her work, you know, designing stuff for major musicians and performances for U2 and people like that.
Nice. That sounds really cool.
Oh, yeah.
What I love is that each episode is tailored to that artist in terms of they try to use the artist's way of thinking as kind of a way of presenting the show. So, like, with Christoph's stuff, you have a lot of concept green screen stuff where he's actually show you his physical drawing and designing and going as complex of, you know, radical drawings to 2 pieces of Lego represents an entire bus that if you understand where he's coming with it, you completely agree that that's, yes, that is a perfect representation.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, I'm going to lose more time, aren't I?
Absolutely.
Probably.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to buy more Blackberries. Hey, I use blackberries instead of popcorn. Low carb.
Hey, yeah.
That works.
And you can still get a handful and just, like, pop them in your mouth, like, ooh, you know?
But,
yeah.
I absolutely recommend the series. It is on Netflix. It just came out earlier this year. In fact, I think it came out less than a month ago.
Oh, nice.
So, it's hot, fresh, and ready for your consumption.
Cool.
Awesome.
So, next.
Who's next?
You know what? I'll go next.
Okay.
I will go next. I actually have two. And the first one, if you are like me and you use music in your game, or you use a soundboard like Sirenscape to do sound effects and everything else, you want to have a decent speaker that you can either plug into your laptop or into your tablet or whatever. And I got this speaker. It's called Oonce is the name of the company. And they boast a water resistance that, like, they show it being drowned, basically. And I'm like, that won't work. And so I had mine in the shower. Not in my shower, but just outside of my shower. And it was up high, and my daughter pulled a towel down, which pulled it off the top of the thing, and it landed in the toilet. And I'm not sure how long it was in the toilet, but I took it out and I drained all the water, and I'm like, well, they say it's supposed to work still, so let's... And it would just turn on and screech, like, it was off, but it would do this.
I'm not sorry for the statement, but are you suggesting it sounded shitty?
It...
I'm not sorry.
Oh, my goodness. It actually did. It was horrible, and it would just turn on at random. And I'm like, oh, this thing is fucking ruined. I'm so mad because it was like a birthday present that my wife bought me. And I'm like, ah, this sucks. So I sat it up. I just let it run itself out and just left it there for like 2 weeks. And I was like, you know what? Let's see if it's still busted. So I plug it in and I charge it up a little bit. And it seems to be kind of working. Like, it's looks like it's charging. I'm like, okay, cool. So I go to connect it to I haven't tried connecting the Bluetooth yet. So I just plug it in and it starts playing music. Like, this thing had been submerged for at least 20 minutes.
Wow.
Underwater. I have never had a speaker that was able to do that and not be fried. And so if you need something that is going to take one hell of a beating, could be sitting at your table and somebody spills their drink and it just goes all over it, this is the best speaker you can get for that, that I've found. I love mine, and I will preach it from the top of the mountain. That's how much I love this speaker. And they're about $60-ish, but the good ones are. But they're worth every bit. And the other one that I have is I got as a Christmas present from a friend that I haven't seen until this weekend. So I got my Christmas present this weekend from her. And it is a set of paper mini, like, landscape pieces from a guy called Lord ZZ's. And there's a link in the closing remarks. And it's beautiful. Like, all of it is beautiful. This was the Kickstarter stuff that was done, like, 2 years ago or something. and it is phenomenal. And I really, really encourage people to go out and take a look at it, because there are people doing some amazing paper landscapes and boats and crazy things like that. And you basically just build them and use them in your on your table instead of hand drawing your battle mat every time. I mean, you can just place an item on the table. And I mean, that does so much to spark people's enthusiasm for a game.
That's pretty cool.
So
I'm looking at some of them right now. These are really well done.
I got the elven walls and the mill, the elven mill.
I'm looking at the elven tower right now.
I got that. I got all of the elven stuff. And it's just, it was part of a Humble Bundle, apparently. And it was, it's awesome. I love it. So once I get settled again after my move and I have the ability to start building stuff again, I'm going to start building all of my paper stuff again, because I love doing it and it makes my games so much more alive.
Right now they've got a couple of on DriveThruRPG, some of the bundles are on sale too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a few pieces that are pay what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I'm gonna get the Elven Armor one because I've got the Elven Tower and I've got like the wizard stuff, which has like book covers, like little bitty book covers and stuff that you could make, which is amazing because I know how to make a bunch of other stuff like that, and you can do it without having to spend any money. But if I could just print out a sheet of those and then take like skinny sticks that you can buy at like Walmart or craft stores and basically just cut them to length, you could just glue them right onto the wood and your books, you can actually like build shelves and like place all your books in them.
Cool.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of things in there. So yeah, that's my other one because yeah, you don't see this very often. And it was so funny because I was going to buy that whole Humble Bundle when I first saw it. And my wife was like, you don't need any more of that junk. You don't use it very much. And it was because her friend was telling her, dude, would he like this? Like, it wasn't 2 days. They bought it 2 days before I saw it.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was just like, they were like, yeah. Oh, no.
I missed that. I completely I'm almost. What? When did it come out on the Humble Bundle?
I don't remember. I want to say it was like a month ago. So.
Dang it.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'll figure out what all I have, Jules, and I'll send you a list of everything. And if you want to go pick them up from there, then you can.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh, gimme.
All right, Jules, what do you got?
All right. I'm actually. Let's just put it this way: I almost never buy anything on early access, and I bought this. This is the second thing I've ever bought on early access. The first thing I bought was Broforce. I just bought Pit People. It's on Steam. It's by the Behemoth. They're the ones that did Alien Hominid. They did Castle Crashers and Battle Block Theater. It's a turn-based strategy game, and it is probably one of the most wackiest, strangest, absolutely almost surreal and delightful games I've played, and it's hilarious. And on a thumbs up side, they actually got Stamper back to do voice acting. He did all the narrating in Battle Block Theater, which was just delicious. And holy moly, I'm playing this and I'm laughing my brains out, and it's very, very much a behemoth game. You know, they did, you know, like a team kind of beat 'em up when they did Castle Crashers, and they did like Puzzle Platformer, and now they're doing turn-based strategy, and they find a way to make it. It's still, yeah, you still have to think about it. I'm not great at turn-based strategy games or real-time strategy games either, but it's fun. It's simple. It is challenging enough, but it's, oh my gosh, it's that atmosphere and this surreal comedy. You know, it's brilliant. And right now they've only got like the beginning. You know, they only have the beginning part out. And I enjoyed it that much. Also, like, the game kind of come out for $20. I only played 14.
Nice.
So, you know, it's... I enjoyed it that much. I actually went in on early access. So, I mean, if you like the style of the Behemoth games, especially if you like Battle Block Theater, because this is the sequel.
Oh,
this
nice.
This is what happens after the ends of Battle Block Theater.
Okay.
I'm not going to tell you what happened at the end of Battle Block Theater if you haven't seen it, but this follows those events. Huh. And if you have Castle Crashers and if you have Battle Block Theater, you know, they're like, hey, you have Castle Crashers, have this free stuff. And you get like cute heads you can and weapons and goofy stuff you could equip. You know, you can beat somebody to death with a leg of chicken. I highly recommend.
Well, you should.
Oh yes. So I highly recommend it. It's entertaining, and the way that they actually did the turn-based strategy, it's, you know, it's easy to learn. It's easy to you know, kind of get a good feel on it. But you can always try and see if you can do better and better and better.
Sure.
But you don't have to be like a super master, like Final Fantasy Tactics type player to really enjoy it. This is probably the first turn-based strategy I didn't... It made me feel... Even if I goofed up, it was funny.
Oh, you nice. Know?
That's what... If
Instead
I
of just frustrated?
Yeah, because, you know, oops, I didn't move... I clicked the wrong area, or somebody critted on one of my dudes, and, you know, oh my... It's just... It's funny, you know? And... Like, hey, how come I can see my health bar? And they're like, you know, it's like Cyclops magic, bro. I'm like, okay.
That's so fun.
You know, if you like that style of humor, pick it up. I just put your drink down when you're playing. You don't want to have to buy a new keyboard.
That sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I can't wait till the full game's released. But, you know, and you got Stamper. And Stamper is awesome. So, you know, if I could be half that cool, I would have the gravitas. I would not have to worry about going to convention ever, you know. I'm going to Gen Con this year. I wouldn't be nervous about it because I'd have that level of gravitas.
Yeah,
you know, I'm going to Origins and doing Gen Con, first year of Gen Con. It's like I'd have no fear because I knew I would be that awesome if I only had like half a Stamper's, you know, gravitas. Hey, we all got goals, right?
Yep. Well, you're gonna be at Origins and
Origins
I
and
am,
Gen Con.
I know, but I got my leave in hand.
Dude, really?
Yeah. I got. I got my leave in hand. I know I got the time off. I know I've got a room. And I am going to be picking up my badges and stuff here once I get my tax returns back. Just because I'm wanting to make sure I have everything that I want to do. Like, I can just do it all and not have to diddle around with anything. I'm just gonna, because I'm buying my mixer and everything with that too. Nice. So that I make sure I've got all of my stuff so that when we do the big Shadowrun recording, we'll be able to do that.
Cool.
So I'm going
to
have
one. How are we able to get a hotel, man? It's like I missed the enrollment by a week and I had to get one at the Holiday Inn a mile down the road.
Yeah, that's my my wife's boss pays for our hotel. And lucky. She was like Johnny on the spot. I know she said that she had had two rooms. She'd actually accidentally made two reservations. I think she already sold the other one off. Got somebody else to pick it up, so.
Dang it.
Yeah. And it was at the DoubleTree. It's like right there.
I know, I'm jealous. I'm a mile down the bloody road.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we will get together. We are going to record some stuff there too. I want to do a lot of recording. So don't plan on playing constantly there. Because you're gonna be recording stuff with me.
I'll bring the tea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're gonna have most of the Hidden Grid is gonna be there.
Yeah.
And most of Seize the GM is going to be there, so we're going to definitely.
And Steve's going to be there.
Yeah, well, he's extended family because he's been on Hidden Grid, or at least he will. And then there's going to be, you know, he's going to show up. We're going to make him show up on this.
I've warned him, but after hearing himself on a podcast, he's kind of hiding under the bed. You know, I occasionally like throw food under there and poke him with a broom because he's like, "This isn't right. Everything is wrong. My world is gone."
Well, we'll get him used to doing this, and we're gonna get him on the show at some point. So, yeah. I've already told him that, and that means if at Origins I have to drag him out, I'll just start shaming him there at Origins.
You
which
do
it's hard
like,
to shame him. It's hard to shame him, but I will try.
You will fail. You will fail. Many have tried, all have failed, and one person actually ran away crying.
Well,
he realized, oh my God, I am not the biggest asshole. This guy is better.
Well, I'll get him out, and we'll record some fun stuff, and it'll definitely be going up in the feeds.
Yeah.
So. Yep. So, all right. Well, I guess this is going to call it for our show this week, and everything should be back on schedule.
Yep, and everything we talked about will be in the show's doobly-doo, so check it out.
Yes. And I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but we will talk about something fun and GMing related. So, until then, which should be next week.
Barring horrible unforeseen circumstances and raptor attacks.
Raptor attacks. That could be it. Mm-hmm. Well, until then, I guess we will see you guys next week.
Don't touch my dice.
Bye-bye.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are at Zendead,
at Jules Podcaster,
and at No Operations.
And the show's Twitter account is at Seize the GM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at zendead@seizethegm.com.
Me at jules@seizethegm.com.
And me at nulloperations@seizethegm.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by the Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0, Unported License.